Welcome back. In this lesson, we're going to build an 808 tail rebuild system in Ableton Live 12, and we're aiming for that really tasty intersection of modern punch and vintage soul. This is a proper jungle and old school DNB move, because the bass has to do more than just be loud. It has to lock with the break, speak with attitude, and still feel musical when the arrangement gets busy. The big idea is simple. We take one 808 style sample, split it into a punch and a tail, then rebuild those parts so each one does a specific job. The punch gives us the front edge, the little hit that helps the bass land with the drums. The tail gives us the body, the sustain, and the character. Once those two pieces are working together, you've got a bass sound that can hit hard in the drop, breathe in the gaps, and survive in a dense jungle mix without turning to mush. Start by choosing a source sample that already has a bit of life in it. If it's a super clean sine sub, that's not a problem, but for this style, a little harmonic content is usually better. Drag the sample into Simpler on a MIDI track. Set Simpler to classic mode, turn warp off, and use trigger playback so it behaves like a one-shot. If the start of the sample is a bit soft or slow, trim it so the transient speaks quickly. We want the note to feel immediate. Now duplicate that track, because we're going to create two versions of the same source. One track becomes the punch layer and the other becomes the tail layer. This is where the mindset shift happens. Don't think of this as just sound design. Think in envelopes. Think about how fast the note speaks, how long it stays, and how quickly it gets out of the way. In DNB, that timing is often more important than the actual effect chain. On the punch layer, keep things short and direct. Pull the amp envelope release way down, somewhere around 10 to 40 milliseconds. If the sample has too much click, move the start point a little later. You want impact, not a painful top-end spike. If needed, use the filter envelope to give the front of the note a bit more snap, but keep it controlled. Then add drum bus, followed by saturator. On drum bus, start with a small amount of drive, maybe 5 to 15%, and push the transient up a bit, somewhere around plus 10 to plus 30. Keep boom off or very low on this layer. After that, add saturator with a little drive, maybe 2 to 6 dB, and turn on soft clip. That gives the punch some density without flattening it. If the punch gets too sharp, use EQ 8 before drum bus and gently dip somewhere in the 3 to 6 kHz area. If it's not cutting through enough, try a small boost around 120 to 200 Hz, depending on the source. The punch layer should feel almost like a percussive bass accent. In old school DNB, that front edge often behaves almost like another drum hit, and that's exactly what helps it glue to the break. Now move to the tail layer. This is where we rebuild the musical body of the sound. Start with EQ 8, then saturator, then auto filter, and if you want a little extra grit, maybe a tiny touch of redux or erosion. High pass the tail around 25 to 35 Hz to clear out useless rumble. If the low mids get boxy, dip a little around 200 to 350 Hz. If the tail needs more presence on small speeders, try a gentle boost somewhere around 700 Hz to 1.5 kHz. Then add saturation, usually 3 to 8 dB, and keep it soft clipped or analog clipped if possible. After that, use auto filter to shape the movement. A lower cutoff around 120 to 300 Hz can make the tail feel rounder and more vintage. If you automate that filter later, you can make the bass breathe over the course of the arrangement. If you want a more dusty, sampled vibe, add a touch of redux, but keep it subtle. We're not trying to destroy the sound, we're trying to give it texture. The goal is for the tail to remain audible even when the sub is playing under a busy breakbeat. That's the difference between a bass that only sounds good in solo and a bass that actually works in a DNB track. Next, we lock the low end down. Put an audio effect rack on the tail layer and split it into two chains, one for sub, one for character. On the sub chain, low pass around 90 to 120 Hz using EQ 8 and keep it mono. Utility is your friend here. Set width to 0% if needed. On the character chain, high pass around the same area so it doesn't fight the sub. Then add your saturation, filtering, movement, or any stereo interest. This is a huge part of making the system club ready. The sub stays stable and mono safe, while the character lives above it. That way, the bass feels wide and interesting without losing focus in mono. Now let's talk about programming the line. This bass should not be treated like a constant drone. It should answer the drums. Think call and response. Write a simple one or two bar phrase with a strong downbeat note, a short pre-snare note, a longer reply note, and a gap for breathing space. That space matters. Jungle and old school DNB are full of energy, but they also rely on contrast. If everything is always full, nothing feels special. At around 170 to 174 BPM, even tiny note length changes can make a massive difference. Use velocity to fake performance. Don't leave every hit at the same level. Give the main notes a stronger velocity and soften the passing notes a little. That small variation makes the bass feel played instead of pasted in. And if your source has a strong resonant note, don't be afraid to move the MIDI pitch around until it clicks with the kick and snare pattern. Sometimes the right note isn't the one that looks correct on paper. It's the one that makes the drum loop feel bigger. Once the phrase is working, add motion. Automate the tail's cutoff, the saturator drive, the drum bus transient, or even the utility width on the character chain. A classic move is to open the filter a bit more in the second 8 bars of the drop, then pull it back before the switch up. That gives the bass an arc without changing the MIDI. It keeps the track alive. You can also resample the processed bass. Route the bass track to a new audio track, record a few bars, and then chop that audio into new pieces. This is where the sample-based mindset really starts to pay off. Suddenly, your bass isn't just one loop. It becomes a source for fills, reverses, stabs, and switch-up moments. That's very in the spirit of jungle production, where sound design and arrangement often feed each other. After that, listen to the bass with the drums in context. Group your drums and bass into separate buses and check how they interact. On the bass bus, a glue compressor with a slowish attack and medium release can help tighten things up, but keep it light. You usually only need 1 or 2 dB of gain reduction. If the kick needs a little more room, use a small amount of sidechain. But in this style, note placement and tail length are often more important than heavy ducking. If the snare loses impact, shorten the bass tail. If the bass feels disconnected, try a little more saturation or slightly longer note lengths. If the low end gets cloudy, reduce the overlap between the bass note start and the kick hit. For arrangement, don't just use the tail as part of the sound. Use it as part of the structure. In an intro, you can run a filtered tail-only version over a break loop and atmosphere. In the first drop, bring in the punch and tail together with a simple phrase. In the second 8 bars, open the filter a little and add a reply note. In the breakdown, resample the tail into a dubby stab or reversed swell. Then in the switch up, bring the punch back with a different rhythmic gap. That kind of arrangement keeps the tune moving without overcrowding the drums. A really useful habit here is to keep checking the mid-range. Most mix problems with this kind of bass lie somewhere between about 150 Hz and 800 Hz. That's where things get muddy, boxy, or unclear. If the bass feels huge but not readable, don't just push more sub. Shape the middle first, and always check the result in mono. If the sub collapses or the character gets too wide and weird, fix that before you keep adding more processing. Here are a few pro moves you can try if you want even more jungle flavor. Add a very light amount of distortion before filtering to make the tail feel more alive. Create a second tail version that's slightly dirtier, and automate between the cleaner and dirtier versions across the tune. Try a muted ghost note before the main hit to build tension. Or layer a very subtle higher octave reply above the main tail, high-passed and tucked way down in the mix, just enough to give the line a ghostly melodic edge. Another strong move is to think about the bass as a conversation with the break. Let the bass leave a pocket where the snare or chop lands, then answer right after. That call and response feel is a huge part of why sample jungle bass sounds so alive. And if you want more urgency, use dropout moments. Sometimes cutting the bass for half a bar before a new section hits harder than adding another fill. For practice, take 10 or 20 minutes and build a 2-bar phrase using this system. Pick one 808 sample, duplicate it into punch and tail layers, shape each one, and write a short phrase with one strong downbeat, one short pre-snare note, one longer reply, and one silence gap. Then automate the tail cutoff across the second bar, loop it with a breakbeat at 170 to 174 BPM, and check the whole thing in mono. The goal is simple. Make the bass feel like it belongs to the break, not like it's sitting on top of it. So the big recap is this. Split the 808 into punch and tail so each part can do its own job. Use simpler EQ8, drum bus, saturator, auto filter, utility, and glue compressor to rebuild it inside Ableton Live 12. Keep the sub mono, keep the character musical, and phrase the bass against the breakbeat. If you do that, you get the best of both worlds. Modern punch, vintage soul, and a bass sound that feels right at home in jungle and old-school DNB. All right, let's get into it and build that tail with some serious character.